Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
Welcome back to Talkin' Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Schitt's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and we are here talking about Season 2, Episode 9 of Schitt's Creek, Moira's Nudes. I'm joined by someone who always cleans up any foundation he spills on his rug, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
Okay, that's not as bad as I was expecting. I was giving you the slight stanky eye because I was thinking, what's she going to say? How's she going to start this one? Hey, weird episode. Not what I thought it'd be, but a fun one, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I had to save the ridiculous intro for the other person who is joining us today, who every day just Googles nudes of himself. Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
First of all, how dare you? Number one, okay? Let's just get in front of that right now.
You should have gone on incognito mode, Chappelle. Otherwise, listen, I wouldn't have found out.
It's not my fault. I just need to be able to make sure that one day my kids will be able to find my nudes and appreciate, you know, this amazing buttocks I have. You know, I that's what I'm saying. So, no, I it's me. I'm the one. This is the perfect episode for me. I didn't even remember that this was the episode. I was like, oh, yeah, put me on an episode of Season 2, because there's a very specific episode of Season 3 I wanted for sure. And I thought that was coming up. But then when I saw Moira's nudes, I said, oh, yeah, tag me in. This is great. I'm here and I'm ready.
Yeah, Stuart, you knew the episode title going in. What exactly did you expect to happen in an episode titled Moira's Nudes?
I was expecting them to maybe not make an appearance like on camera, obviously, but I imagine that they would be maybe going around Schitt's Creek. Like maybe someone had unearthed them and then everyone was just like kind of talking about whispering behind the back, and it would be like a whole thing of her trying to stop them from spreading. Didn't think it'd be the complete opposite of that, of them not being anywhere and Moira just being like, but why? Why are they not everywhere?
Yeah. But have you tried the word effervescence? Like, right. Have you tried typing that into Google?
Siamese eels, you know.
Small umbrellas.
Small umbrella. There's a few things you can type in. You know, it's funny because watching this episode, yeah, I agree with Stuart. And your first instinct is that, scantily clad photos have probably leaked and people are running with them, and you know this is really bad for her campaign, but if you really think about it, Moira has not been a celebrity in a very long time. You know, she hasn't. So her nudes are probably, one, not of this decade, but also not highly clamored after. You know, like, this is a former soap star from decades ago, and you know, I'm sure there's a lot of soap opera stars right now with their nudes on the internet. No one's looking for them. No one's peeping them. No one wants to see them. And so, when you realize, like, when you contextualize that Moira is no longer in the game of, oh, leaked nudes are scandalous for this person, then this episode is even funnier.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because even if there were nudes of Moira, the like resolution on the cameras in the time that they would have been taken, you're not really seeing much detail anyway.
Maybe one of those old blurry lenses and everything with like a load of lens flare in as well. It's like, you didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Probably like, why she looked fantastic.
What did she think she was going to see? You know, that's the thing. Like, whatever these nudes were, she would have already known they existed. They would have already been out online. This would have already been a thing. Nobody is going back and being like, hey, remember that actress from 89? You know, like, oh, yeah, her nudes are out there circulating. Like, nobody cares because those probably already saw the light of day, were in some magazine or something like that. People saw them and moved on. Moira's acting like she took some fresh nudes that should be out in the street that people need to see. But by the end of this, she realized this is just a journey for her to really appreciate what her body used to be like when she back when she was taking tasteful nudes.
Mm-hmm. I do love the message behind it, right? Where it's like, no, take ownership of like how good you looked. Like, yeah, there should be nudes of me. I looked great. I love that that is the message we kind of leave this episode with, specifically her talking to Stevie and saying like, don't think, oh, am I just too pasty and goth? You know, maybe my boobs are too small. It's just like...
so rude. But also encouraging.
Yeah. I think about me back in college. I was so sexy and didn't even know it. I had low self-esteem. I was like, man, I got to be in the gym every day. And then like all these buff people walking around here, they all look so perfect. And now I look back like, damn, I was good. I looked so good. I was disrespecting young Chappelle. New Chappelle would die for one, that body, but also that mobility. Because dear God, I'm falling apart.
Yeah, relatable content for anyone, you know, probably in their 30s. Anyone who was alive that understood the reference to Helga Pataki that Chappelle made earlier probably has a sore back right now.
Sometime I have to date myself a little bit, and that was one of those moments.
All right, well, let's dive into this episode. As always, if you haven't subscribed, please do so. Talkin' Shit is where you can find us on all social media platforms. Where to begin? Johnny is running low on cash after last week's raw milk ordeal, and Twyla insists he pay off his tab at the Cafe Tropical in front of Alexis. Johnny's forced to borrow money from David, the only rose with a job. We'll get into more on that later. Speaking of David, he has a car. Well, it's a rental, but still, it's transportation. And apparently Wendy really, really cares about David getting to work because she's footing the bill for this transportation situation. Alexis panics over her family's lack of funds, and the lovely, gracious, very sexy Ted offers her a job as a secretary at the vet's office, where, yes, maybe she'll have to encounter animals occasionally. There isn't an elegant transition to now talk about Moira hunting down nude photographs of her on the internet. Apparently, Jocelyn made allusions to there being risque photos of Moira online, and Moira is quite dismayed when Stevie and her children can't find her nudes anywhere. And that's what happened on this week's episode of Schitt's Creek, Stewart.
The thing I really wanted to get into first off was, did Jocelyn really make these allusions to like what's going on? Or is this something that Moira's invented because she absolutely wants to like just make this the story of the day? Just like maybe she thinks that this will help the campaign. Just maybe if they see those pictures, maybe they will see the vision that I have for running from the light down
there. I mean, I do find it hard to believe, Stuart, you know, that Jocelyn of all people was exactly. Like, oh, yeah, wait till these people see your nudes. Like, that did not happen. She probably made an allusion to something. And then Moira being Moira took it to a different level of, you know, nefariousness. You know, she's like, oh, here comes Jocelyn. She's doing the things. Now I have to get in front of this. And then her mind just starts to spiral. We see how she can take these little tiny nuggets and just blow them up into big ordeals. And that's exactly what she did.
Yeah,
but last we've seen, Jocelyn isn't necessarily afraid of doing a little bit of dirty politicking, right? Like
a little bit.
It like we saw it last episode. So, but I also find it hard to believe that. What I don't understand how we get to the point where Jocelyn's like, but there were racy photos of Moira online. If Moira herself can't even find them, then where is Jocelyn seeing these? Like, you know, that's where I kind of find it a little bit inconceivable.
But also, like, are you telling me that Jocelyn and Roland don't have just the sauciest pictures hidden away somewhere?
That's right.
Like, they've got all the different role plays of Meryl Streep films, like in different outfits, tucked away somewhere.
You know that that's in Roland's spank bank is Moira's nudes.
I don't even think I ever want to hear Roland.
Yes,
too much. It's too much going on. There's too much. Stop it. Stop it. No. Stop it right now.
No. He wanted to be smacked, remember? No.
Oh my God, he did. He was like, smack me like a bitch.
No. Stop it. We're not going to start any sentence alluding to or even mentioning Roland Spank Bank. Okay. That didn't happen. Also, why did Moira's nudes end up? No.
Well, she was as, what was it? Sunrise Bay was the name of the soap opera. And he like loved her character. He wanted to be snacked by her. He's like, I've been waiting years for this. He's definitely into it. He has, I bet you he, okay, Roland is an old school guy, right? We've mm-hmm. seen the technology at the motel. Roland doesn't seem like a guy who's like on the internet a ton. You know, I don't know why I'm thinking of this.
If you say VHS to me, I'm leaving the podcast.
I'm not. Magazines. Magazines. Oh, he has magazine clippings, and you know he's like cut out Moira, but it's Moira, but like Sunrise Bay Moira, you know? And he's like,
and he took her hair and pasted it on the body of an Indonesian ladyboy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing it crudely with scissors, just smacking it over a Playboy. Like,
yeah, it's exactly what he's doing. And then Jocelyn sees those and gets upset.
There's no way. There's just no way.
Figured it out.
Not my Jocelyn. Not my Jocelyn. She's not in this. This is, if anything, Roland might have alluded to Moira's pictures, and Jocelyn might have asked Moira point blank, like, you know what Roland's talking about here? And that's it, Moira into a spiral. Yeah. There's just no way Jocelyn woke up one day and was like, and I'm about to out you in your nasty photos. Like, it's just not her. Yeah.
I just love that Moira refuses to type on a computer, so much so, or maybe she just doesn't even know how to use one, that she is like involving her children in trying to find her own nudes. Why not ask Johnny? Like, he's seen you naked so many times. Why not ask him to Google? Does he not know how to Google?
I don't think Johnny strikes me as the real Googling type either. Like, I think Johnny's the kind that I think that even when he was in the height of his like kind of business world, I don't think would have done anything on a computer. He would have been just barking orders at a poor secretary through a wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, y'all pointed out before that Moira kind of treats these interactions like these are her friends, but also kind of her servants. And so she's just used to being able to be like, hey, can you look this up for me? Can you go search for something for me? And it would have never occurred to her to ask Johnny because he too has been in that role for so long. But you can tell she's disconnected because her question to Stevie is, does this computer get internet access? I was like, what year is this? What do you mean? Does it get internet access? In what way? What computer does not? You know, what are we doing?
Yeah, I can't type, and I don't care to relive my days as secretary.
Secretary,
it's so good. And then apparently she's taken a ton of photos with future murder suspects. So that's fun.
Yeah, good to know that she's redone Phil Spector's hair, but I don't think anything's really going to like redeem any of the people on that list. Wild.
Yeah.
I love the fact that as well, like kind of going to Stevie for the internet thing and just asking if there's a childproof lock on it. And Stevie's just like, yeah, no, this would make the job very boring. It's like, you know what Stevie's getting up to when she knows no one's barging in. Like, she's clearly having a Google search.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she goes to David instead and says, we're about to have a very awkward moment in our parent-child relationship. And she says, if someone has to find naked pictures of me, better you than a stranger in a storm cellar. No, though. No, though.
Yeah, I disagree. She's wrong. She's incorrect. She's incorrect.
Oh, try effervescence. Try small umbrella. Just she's getting more and more upset that she can't find nude photos of herself. And I feel like my favorite part of this entire storyline, besides the Johnny actually secretly having a Polaroid of her at the end, which I just found very cute and endearing and just shows like what a great couple they are. I love the interaction that she has with Stevie, where she's just like, you know what? While you're in the best shape of your life, now's the time. Just do it. Like I looked so beautiful back then and my butt looked great. And
Calipigian ass.
Just the what is it? I'm trying to think of backwards complimenting or what is it called?
Backhanded.
Yeah, is that it? Backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm too spooky. No one wants to see these tiny boobies.
Has anybody ever used the word spooky in a compliment? You know, like what?
I'm so too spooky. Good. I love it so much.
Stuart, I have a question. What is a Siamese eel?
I have no idea.
Jess, stop searching. You know what I mean?
Please.
I'm typing it at Google.
But it doesn't conjure the best mental image. And then you combine that with the fact that she's posing with them nude? What's Moira into some freaky shit? Like, what the
Someone
hell?
Someone on the Schitt's Creek subreddit wrote, at like just a title, made a post titled Siamese eels just looking for something. And people commented, if you don't have any luck with that, try small umbrella. You should have tried effervescence first or just Moira Rose nudes.
So good. Oh,
it's too
so
funny. Good. I think it's a type of eel. I think it's also called a peacock eel. I don't know.
What does this have to do with her nudes is what I
was picturing, like Flotsam Jetsam, sort of like Ursula cosplay. I don't think that's right. What? I was like picturing Moira dressed as Ursula.
I'm sorry, Stuart's face. If y'all listen to this audio only, you have to watch the YouTube video of this.
I was picturing like Ursula with her like two eels, you know? She's like, yeah.
Like a little boa just like twirling around, like a burlesque show.
Yes. I mean, picture her singing Poor Unfortunate Souls. I feel like it works.
Oh my, I need that to happen.
Yeah, like imagine Catherine O'Hara saying, you've got your looks, your pretty face.
The Jazzy Gals are going to perform it.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's oh perfect. My God. I have a tear in my eye.
That's ridiculous.
But it all kind of culminates in Moira's really upset because she's not as young, as vivacious as she once was. And she doesn't feel as pretty as she did when she took those nude photographs. And I love the moment where Johnny's like, look in my portfolio. And she pulls out this like small Polaroid from like the 80s. And I just, it's so sweet, Stuart. Like, we get a lot of like Moira and Johnny stuff, but I feel like that we don't get a ton of like sickeningly sweet moments of it's so obvious they're still in love after all this time, and you know, relationship goals sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's always these like small moments. Like, we had perhaps a rather like kind of more overt reference in the first season when David walked in on them and things, so you know that they're still like kind of like involved and deeply in love with each other and stuff. But they see small little touches when like they, you just know that the kind of spark is still there and that they adore each other deeply. And I love it as well when we see it manifest through other things, like the whole fruit wine commercial and like Johnny actually like turning up and being an absolute like kind of guy there and supporting her in every endeavor. Like, kind of at first when the town council thing comes up, he goes, tries to almost like take over it a little bit. And then I think when he realizes that she wants it, he like fully steps back and kind of fully supports it, like hasn't done anything to really derail it or kind of pull her away from it. It's kind of, it's really sweet, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You could tell they spend a lot of time getting like to like falling in love with each other, and they've done a really good job of cultivating that relationship while ignoring their kids. You know, like if you have two kids and you just completely disregard them, you have a lot of time to really focus on your relationship. And you can tell because they get in like little tiny spats, and then they instantly clean them up because they know each other so well. They know exactly how each other's going to react to everything. I think last time I was here, we talked about the surprise party, and he's just like, how long did you know? You know, like it's just they're so tapped into each other that, you know, they're one of the like the more fun things about the show to me too, because we get so many dysfunctional couples and stuff like that on TV. So just to see them always in lockstep, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could tell that that they definitely spent more time focusing on their individual careers and each other, because at the end of the episode when Johnny's hugging his kids, he's like, I'm just hugging my kids, and Mer goes, why? Why would you do that?
I mean, when he tried to hug David and David flinched, you know, he's like, David, so good. What are you doing? What was that?
Plus, like you're saying, you're in a car. Like, it's very hard to hug someone when you're sitting in a car.
Yeah, but it was so aggressive.
Made. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He almost tackled
I would flinch too if my dad came at me like that with his arms all open and stuff. I'd be like, what is happening right now?
What's wrong with you?
But speaking of Johnny, I love this, Stuart, because I feel like any other sitcom, right? I mean, the characters wear the same outfits all the time. They never wear the same outfit twice. And you know what I mean? Like, there's like really unbelievable things that happen. And I feel like we've been waiting for like a season and a half for the Roses to be confronted with the fact that they don't have any money. And like, how were they buying every single meal at Cafe Tropical? So to get this like 500 and some odd tab from Twyla and have her be very strict, like, no, tomorrow morning though. Yeah. I can eat it.
He's like, or afternoon.
I love that there was just so many. Like, how often are they eating out there that they have that much for tab?
Every
especially
meal,
because
they
it's
can't
this
cook?
Month. Come on.
We've seen it's the like enchiladas. We've seen them try to fold the cheese in, Stuart.
No one have ramen in this world? Does Canada not have ramen? Like, what the heck is going on?
Canada have ramen? They must have ramen.
And
it's
they
must. Interesting to me, too, that, you know, Twyla, they've been letting them get away with this for a long time, too. It's different that, and I don't know if it's just that this is just the neighborhood we're in. The people in this town are just so nice and agreeable to where they just fold instantly to just like, you know, we'll just do the nice thing. We'll just do the hospitable thing. Or is it just that the Roses just kind of exude wealth? And so you just assume, like, when they say they got it, okay, fine, we'll get it. They'll get it back. You know, Johnny has been telling us all, like, eventually we leave it. You know, like, we're going to, our ship is going to come in. We're going to fix this. We're going to save. So in their minds, they're like, they're good for it. But eventually, I think at some point, you have to put your foot down. And Twyla's like, hey, we haven't been paid in months. And Twyla's a waitress. She doesn't make a salary, y'all. Like, they're not tipping her either, you know? So this is already wild. I mean, I guess technically this is Canada. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it works there. But in the United States, this would be weird. This woman would be poor, dirt poor, trying to deal with the Roses, especially with a $500 tab just open.
Yeah, because you don't tip on the tab, do you? Just, like, kind of wave it away and, like, brush it off. But, like,
she's working for free.
So much. And Twyla being an absolute sweetheart that she is, kind of goes along and is like, oh, okay, yeah, tomorrow morning. And he's just like, he knows that he's going to get strong on for money if he doesn't go along with this. But it's about time. Like, I like the fact that we're getting the unemployment check being kind of explained. Mm-hmm. Like, that didn't kind of not come to anything. Like, it turns out that that is how they're getting some money in. But it can't be enough to fund a whole kind of lifestyle of eating out at a cafe constantly, right?
Not when you spend $400 on raw milk last episode.
On raw milk.
So yeah. I like that we're like the continuity is good. You know what I mean? Like they're referencing things that happened previously, which isn't always the case for sitcoms. So I really love that. And so he turns to David. But of course, it's super awkward to ask your son for money. He's the only one who currently has a job. And I think based on outside appearances, you know, he has a car now, like he must be doing well. And but if I'm David, and I am standing at the ATM and my father keeps telling me, oh, well, you don't need to say PIN number. Like the N means number. I'm like, you're not getting any money.
Yeah,
I'm getting the car. Zero money for you.
It's time to go.
I would be infuriated.
Totally redundant to say it. Just the badge on the upper mouth.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy, Stuart. Are you the guy who's like, oh, don't say ATM machine because the N means machine.
I mean,
it's literally about to say it.
Yeah, you are.
Do you want the money or not? You know what I'm saying? That's really what it comes down to. Like, would you rather be right or do you want the money? Because that's what we're doing right here.
Why not do both? Get the money first, then be a dick.
Be a dick after you have the cash in hand, definitely. But they get this huge kerfuffle because he doesn't have his PIN, so he has to go into the bank to get the PIN, and it's a lot of back and forth. And we got a really funny story from listener Emily talking about how, like, she would have to go to the bank teller to withdraw cash because she never knew her PIN and she was, like, too embarrassed to mention that she didn't know it. I feel like everyone between the ages of, like, 16 to 22 has, like, an embarrassing story about something that they probably should have learned about money or debit cards or credit cards but didn't. And I have one as well. I don't know if it's more or less embarrassing than Emily's. It's shorter. It's over. It lasts a shorter amount of time. So maybe that's an indicator. But I had a debit card and I just got in a car and I had to fill my car with gas. And like, I had never done that before because, you know, I was a kid and I didn't have to. So I'm 16 years old and I'm at the gas pump and, you know, you insert your card and this is, you know, we didn't have chip readers and all that back in the day, right? You know, you're supposed to insert your card. And I was like, where do I insert the card? And I put it in the slot where the receipt comes out, and I got it stuck. I had to go inside and ask the person at the counter to please help me get my card back because it was stuck in there. The same trip to the gas station, I was with my best friend, and I think she got out of the car too to help me. And I had pumped the gas, and I didn't really realize that you're supposed to let the gas like drip off the end for like a couple seconds before you pull it. I pulled it out of like my car, whipped it around to put it back away, and splashed her with gas at the same time.
That's a really bad experience. And this is why it's illegal in New Jersey. This is exactly what y'all were talking about with Sarah. This is why it's illegal. You can't do this. You can't do this.
I'm beginning to see why that makes sense.
It was just a bad trip to the gas station all around. But yeah, like I've done dumb stuff too. Have either of you done anything stupid with like a debit card besides like obviously spending too much money or something?
I was going to say, well, you got me with the spending too much money. Yeah, definitely have done that. Yeah, definitely have done that. I don't think I've ever had any of those moments, but I'm notoriously bad at memorizing passwords. Like I'm just, I'm awful. I was Twitch streaming the other day and I had it all set up and everything was going well. And then they were like, oh, you should do such and such. And I got ready to do it. And I said, oh, I need to log in. It's wild that I get to stream, but I'm not logged in. Okay, I'll log in. It's like 45 minutes of the stream is just me trying to reset my password, like the old ass man I am. Like I was like thumbing through the cloud, looking at the password manager. Like, okay, I know it's in here. Oh God, which day did I use that day? Oh, did I reset it? You know. So I've had embarrassing moments like that, but I've never had the gas station moment. No, that's not a thing that we know. No, yeah. That's wild.
I think I was quite lucky. Like when we were doing driving lessons, my teacher took time out, and I don't think we meant to do this as part of like UK driving lessons, but they took me to a petrol station and like showed me how to do it. And I was just like, all right, this is nice and simple. Although we do kind of have more of a trusting system here where we kind of just pump it and then go in and then pay.
Oh, not anymore.
We could do that back in the day here, but stop it.
Not at all. We don't trust anybody in the States.
We've also got the like pay at pump machines and stuff, but you've fully got the option, like provided there is someone working that you can pump it and then go in and stuff. But otherwise, like you have to use the machines and stuff.
But, can I admit something live on the podcast that I don't know that I've ever admitted? And it's one of those things. It's one of those. It's been too long to ask. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to do this. And it's been OK. I feel like maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just like it's in New York that you can't do it. I've seen people like start pumping the gas and then they do something and it and just stays and they walk away.
How do you do that? I do it all the time.
No.
What? How do you do that?
First of all, I have a massive pickup truck, truck. So it takes a while to fill it up and it's going to cost me a bunch of money. There's a little, so when you pull the little lever or whatever, there's like a little thing that hangs down from it.
Yes, I've seen
notches,
that thing.
And you just latch it onto the notches and it'll just hold it in place. And then when you come back, you pull the lever again and it releases it. And so it's like this little silver thing.
I've tried doing that before and there was a little piece of metal and I poked my finger on it and I was like, I'm not doing this
again. Yeah. Sometimes it's like it's pressed down like a little kickstand, but other times there's literally a hook that you just hook it onto and you can just walk off and then come back. Yeah. And I do that daily.
I just want to be able to like fiddle, you know, I have like ADHD.
Use my phone. Sure.
Mess around on my phone while I'm waiting 5 minutes.
No, yeah, don't use your phone. That's how they explode.
I think that's
it. It's literally. I mean, when was the last time you've seen somebody explode at a gas?
I've never exploded.
Exactly. So I think it's a myth.
given your behavior, though, Jess, at a gas station, I'm wondering whether you'll be the one.
Do you want to raid it all around?
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen because if it did, it would happen every day because there's always a 16-year-old learning how to drive. But at the same time.
It's a risk I'm willing to take because I'm so bored. Like
Are you the person who don't put your phone on airplane mode on the plane?
Oh no, I put my phone on airplane mode. Okay, I'm on airplane mode before I follow the rules. You know, if there's like actual rules about it, I will follow the rules. But there's no rules about the car thing. You know, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but like rules are only worth following when they make sense. One of my favorite lines is from the West Wing like opening episode where they're telling Toby Ziegler to like turn off his phone and he's like, "You're telling me I can flummox this thing with something I bought from like Costco, wherever you get your phones from." Like, it's ridiculous. Like, how are you telling me that like a little phone is going to like take down this complete and utter like huge jack. Like, get out, get in the bin.
Yeah,
it's just to make sure that you're pacing, paying attention and facing forward. Mm-hmm. Like, they just want to keep you organized.
I totally agree, because I'll put my phone on airplane mode, but then I'll get off the plane and realize, oh, I forgot to do it to my iPad. Oh, wow. And then I'm thinking, well, we didn't die. So
yeah,
I guess we're fine.
Fine.
You know?
And also, I'm mostly doing it because it also conserves battery, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, That's true.
But yeah. Just,
I did want to point out in this episode, though, about David. There's a moment where Johnny, of course, is telling Alexis, like, hey, we're broke. We're broke. We need money. But don't tell Moira and don't tell David because they're too fragile. I love this storyline. I love this so much because you can tell that David and Moira do not respect David at all as an independent character in this show. They're like, he's fragile. Like, we need to keep this away from them. And David is stepping up. He has a job. He does not remember his PIN number, but he has a job. He actually is the breadwinner in the family. He pulled up in a car. Like, he's really proving them wrong. And I like it because they don't know their kids. They don't. If anybody's fragile, it's Alexis, but she's seen a lot. And I think they know it too. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like, honestly, the most fragile of all of the roses is Moira. She's one you have to be concerned about finding out. David would be concerned, but I don't know, Stuart. I would say that Alexis is more fragile. I mean, obviously, we saw what she did when she dropped her foundation. Like, let me just say, never, ever, ever would I ever try to scoop foundation. It could be my floor. And I wouldn't be doing that. How poor are you?
Carpet.
Nasty, nasty.
But they're poor and they can't afford to eat. So she has to conserve it, Jess. Like, get it out of my way. I think it's absolutely, like, the spilling of it, I don't think comes down to her kind of being, like, overly sensitive or anything. I think it comes down from trying to keep a secret, which I don't think Alexis can do very well. So she's jittery. She's like, oh, I can't let anyone know. I've got to act like normal. And in that, acting like normal, she absolutely like shits the bed and spills everything kind of all over the place. I think it's that, but I totally agree. Like, Moira is the most sensitive one. These kids are resilient.
They are. Like,
David is, I think, more so in this scenario now, but, and Alexis has been proven by the fact that she's been kidnapped by God knows whoever.
The FBI knew exactly where she was, Stuart.
I'm about to stop yelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think Moira is the one you have to worry most about finding out. Alexis, obviously, though, is in a bit of a panic. You know, she's getting a zit, which no one, you know, is not a great thing. I love her walking into the cafe and being like, is there a hose I can drink out of outside?
She was trying to be like, she knows she's poor. Like, she didn't come in demanding, like, all right, Twilight, you know the game. Come on, give me. Yeah, she came in like hat in hand, like, hey, I'm doing my best here, you know, and as far as the zit go, it's not her fault that she hasn't always had clean, radiant skin like me and David, but we're anomalies.
Yeah. Also, isn't water free? Like, I mean, in America, if you were to walk into a restaurant and ask for like a glass of water, like, they're not going to charge you for it. I imagine it's the same in Canada.
I should hope so.
Right. Yeah. Does that happen in the UK? I mean, if you're getting bottled water, that's different. But if you're just getting like tap water.
Yeah. I mean, there's this thing on TikTok where everyone's kind of ragging on the UK and Europe from Americans coming home. And they're like, oh, free water. And it's like, we offer free water. It's just that if you ask for water, we'll probably give you bottled and charge you for it unless you ask for tap. But
like, can I just say, when I went, so I took like my first trip like out of the country. And when I went to Europe, and we went to Rome, they had like sparkling water fountains. And there are, okay, so I was having a really tough time with jet lag and all these other things. So I was like in a really bad mood for the first couple days of the trip. And there are photos of me before and after I found the sparkling water, like water fountain. Will was like, this is the happiest you've looked all trip. And I was like, it is the coolest thing. Why don't we have these? So everyone needs a sparkling water fountain. It's the best. You feel so fancy. It's just like, this is the greatest moment.
You should go in hunt of the red wine fountain that they have in Italy somewhere. It literally dispenses red wine, like,
do you have to pay for it?
I think you might have to. I don't know.
You'd have to, right? Chappelle's like, I'm booking a flight right now.
You know me too well.
Roll up with a barrel.
I just sit there and just like sop it up, you know?
Yeah. I just do a little bit of this, turn it on, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point about the water. I just think they're still trying. It's been two seasons, but they're still trying to figure out how to be poor. You know, like they mm-hmm. like this is a new level of poor because prior to this, they've been able to purchase their own food. Johnny has just now thrown their money into a furnace with this whole milk thing. And so she's like, how do you be really poor? Like, how do you be to the point where you actually need to go buy like packets of ramen and stuff like that to survive? She's coming in like, please help me. Help me. I'm poor. That's the energy she's giving. It's tough, but they have to hit rock bottom. They're going to become better people. And I think to this point, they hadn't hit rock bottom. They have still been living off the kindness of the people around them and off the allure of just they're rich and that one day things will change. And I think now we're starting to come to terms with, okay, they're not just going to change organically. We're going to have to work our way out of this. We can't just wait this out.
Yeah. I think scraping foundation off a motel carpet feels like rock bottom to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, a motel that you do not pay to live in.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. They're not paying for like rent, not paying utilities. No. Like it's ridiculous. No wonder they can afford all of the cafe trips and stuff. But I think when Twyla, the nicest of the nice person, is like, no, hey, like, come on, this is ridiculous now. I think you realize like you've got to answer some questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pay up and grow up. It's kind of like, okay, you've been getting by on this whole like we don't have any money thing and we've been really nice, but after a while, like how long do y'all think we're gonna do this? Like even from Twyla, you know, like Twyla is like the avatar for the just a nice human who's in the space who just you could say stuff to her and it just glosses right over her head. She doesn't even react, she just smiles and grins. But even Twyla is like, hey, we're moving. We have to move on. We can't just keep living in this fantasy world where y'all are the richest people here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and luckily Ted happens to come into the cafe when Alexis is panicking, and he's like, "Listen, my secretary just left. I could use someone." And Alexis insists on being interviewed, which was such a cute scene of her being like, "I'm going to stop you right there. I think we need to focus on my positive attitude." I just love her so much. I just think Ted is an angel. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it should be a red flag when Alexis is like, but won't there be animals there? And Ted's like, at a vet's office? Yeah, there will be. Like, probably should be a red flag, but he's so kind and he just wants to help her. Stuart, do you think that Ted had ulterior motives in like offering her this job? Or is he just like a very kind person like Twyla?
I don't think he does have ulterior motives. I kind of saw it as just being a very nice gesture. And also perhaps seeing maybe a spark of potential in Alexis actually being quite good at it, because she is kind of good at speaking truth to some people, and especially, and that's what you kind of need with a receptionist. When someone is like, I need an appointment today, and it's like, we're booked, it's like, you've got to be forceful sometimes. But
dude, you've seen her text.
She could just relay all the communications through text, maybe, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think that's an ulterior motive.
Yeah, I disagree. I feel like David brings it up. He says, Ted has proposed to you twice. So let's just go ahead and talk about Ted's decision-making process, because we talk about how delusional Alexis and this family can be. Ted has proposed to this woman twice in one season. Twice. This is insane. This is insane. For him to now be like, yeah, you can work for me. I know you don't like animals and you have no experience. And you've also basically left me standing here proposing to you twice in a row. The whole mutt situation, all that considered. And he's still like, but you don't have to interview. You're fine. Let's just bring you in. It's like, Ted, I see you.
He asked her several questions, most of which she answered, Chappelle. What more do you want from her?
She did answer most of them. That is true. Yeah. That's what I was like. I really don't understand. Like, I see Ted, but I also want to smack him upside his head and be like, stand up. Like, I understand that you're in love, but at some point, this could now start to affect your business. And just because you went and got your leather jacket and your beard doesn't mean anything has changed. This woman is still Alexis. Now, she is improving. I think this is like the best Alexis we've been getting, but it's marginal. And it's also Alexis. So, you know, stand up, Ted.
Yeah. But Stuart, I do think it's really sweet that she gets Johnny a card, even though there's no money in it, like he's expecting. I just, I think it's so sweet that she's like, I just thought you could use some support.
It's yeah. Johnny's reaction in that moment was me at Christmas when I started getting to an age where relatives wouldn't put money in the cards. And I was just like,
you're just like dumping the card out, like shaking
it. It's just a card. Thanks. Great. It's avocado. Thanks.
This is why I hate opening presents in front of people, because there's like an immense pressure to have a specific reaction to something. And if you don't have the reaction they're looking for, it's going to be like deeply upsetting to them. Mm. So it's so hard, especially like cards and stuff. It's like, oh, thank you.
And then there's also the risk of like it being a joke gift, and they're like, you're trying to like, you're meant to see that it's shit, and then they're the same going and you're like, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's just super awkward. But it was very sweet of her to do that. Like, she didn't have to. Like, and of all Alexa's things, like, she actually thought of someone else in the moment, which for her, massive growth, I thought.
I am going to hold my queen accountable, because I do love Alexis. Comma, but no. No, no, no. As an older sibling, I put my foot down, stomping this out. David just gave this man his entire paycheck. I can't stand this about parents with multiple kids, because that younger child can get away with murder. Murder. David says this, and he's like, both of my kids are so considerate. This woman gave you a my condolences card. You're having the worst day of your life. You literally just got told you owe the restaurant all this money. All of this money, $560. You lost your button. That was the highlight of his day, was when he found his button. He comes in, I found my button, guys. And then she hands him a card and says, I hear you're having a hard time. My deepest condolences. Yeah, well, things have been tough for you lately. Where did she put any thought into Johnny Rose? Wait, you're telling me
she went have to money? That's the thing. She doesn't have a job. She just got the job.
She got this card from somewhere. Wherever she got this card from, I'm sure there was another card.
She stole it, Chappelle. We've seen her steal things.
It's still a better card. She
stole it from Ted.
Still a better card. You go to
the gift card to put in the card.
That's still something that the man can use. You gave him a my condolences card, and him being father of a young child, because that's what she is acting like. He's going to frame it and put it up on the refrigerator and act like it's the coolest thing ever, when in reality, Johnny Rose is in hell. He's used to being the breadwinner of this family. He's used to them all coming to him. That's why he was so hesitant to understand that David could take care of himself. He's like, my kids are so fragile. No, Johnny, you just have never been in a situation where you've had to watch them stand on their own, and you can't help at all. He's begging his kid for money, and he can't even ask for it. He never even asked for the money. David says, if you need money, I can give it to you. And he says, thank you. This man is in hell, and the best his daughter could do is a sorry for your lost card. My lost lady, we're down bad. We're struggling. I screwed up the milk thing. Do something nice for me. I mean, this is nice-ish, but again, let's hold Alexis accountable. This she can do better.
I just love how that's she gets hilarious. On David's case when David won't hug him. She goes, David, that's poor right now.
Right, exactly. Dad is poor right now. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Ma'am, stop reminding this man that he just blew your home all the money.
It is her situation with the milk that kind of forced him to ask David for money anyway.
But what's that Alexis's fault? I still am on Johnny's bad instructions.
But she's aware. And that's my thing. It's like, Alexis, if she paid attention a little bit, then she would understand that her dad doesn't need her throwing it in his face that she's poor. Especially when David is like, I just gave him $560. He's not poor anymore. I was like, he technically is still poor, because he just paid off that tab. Y'all are just broke even now. I love Alexis, my favorite character on the show, but also no, you do not get a pass for this, ma'am.
Okay, fine, we can hold Alexis accountable, I guess.
Someone has to.
She did get a job, so we have to give her props for
did
that.
She get a job?
She gonna be working.
She was given a job. She did not go get anything.
Still getting a job.
Everywhere. You know, it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. All right. Anything else we want to hit on this episode before we get into some feedback?
Mild point of notes that I made was just that how ridiculous David was when it came to entering the pin. Apparently, 1282 is his birthday. I don't know how that works out.
Is it January 2nd, 1982?
I guess so.
Maybe.
Ford in Japan, 1282. Oh,
that could work.
Ford is like, wow, that's like, crazy.
You crazy Americans and your ridiculous way of doing the day, month, and the year.
Well, this is the weirdest thing, is that I was looking at that as like being like the four digits of like a year, thinking it was that. But then I also made second notes on the second pin that he did, which was 7283. And I had to like Google because he said that that was his birthday. And Dan Levy's actual birthday is 9th of August, 83. So it's close. But
it's
not
the 9th
quite.
Of August.
Yes.
Oh my God, we're nearly birthday twins.
Does that make him a Leo then?
Yeah, he's a Leo. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I can tell.
Yeah.
And it shows. Yeah, the whole pin thing is weird, especially when David comes into the bank and lies. It's like, I called someone. Yeah. No, you did not, Karen. No, you did not. You didn't call anybody. So the woman says, well, there's only two of us here. So who'd you call? It was a long time. It was a long time ago.
Was she like eating a sandwich and just looks up?
Yeah. Like, why am I in it? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. David completely lied. He didn't call anybody.
You should never use your birthday as your pin.
Right. Like, yeah. That's silly. Unless, you know, Stuart is the one trying to hack it and then in which case you'd be fine. How does this work?
You'd be fine.
Yeah. Even when the teller says, you just said your pin out loud, so I think you should change it. I'm like, yeah. There's three people in the building. You know?
Are you gonna steal his money, lady? Yeah.
That lady with the sandwich, it's you.
Oh my gosh. All right, let's get into some feedback. We got some notes from Trish on last episode. And she says buying too much milk was 100% Alexis's fault. But maybe Johnny should never lied on Alexis to remember specific details. Poor David, knowing what his mother's reaction would be if he helped Jocelyn, but not being able to stop himself. The more I see the Jazzy Gals, the more I want to be one of them.
Yes.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to like Seems just like be a fly day. On the wall of rehearsals for the Jazzy Gals, you know?
I want to be a fly on the wall for two rehearsals of the Jazzy Gals. One with and one without Moira, because I want to see what the vibe is both ways.
I love the Jazzy Gals. This is a weird episode, y'all, because it's just it feels like almost like it doesn't move the plot at all, but it's so character heavy that I love it so much. I'm so happy I chose this one.
Trish also had feedback for this episode. I really like how this episode twists the expectations of scandalous photos. Instead of being embarrassed, Moira wants people to see how hot she was in her prime, and I think that's such a positive attitude. Although wanting your adult children to find them on the internet for you is probably not so healthy. And Stuart, because you're the unspoiled one, what do you think about Alexis getting a job? Do you think she's going to stick it out?
No. I can't see this lasting a long time. But I can see, like, I think she'll, like, stick with it for a while, but I think she's going to grow bored. Like, I think there'll be something shiny, something new coming along in the future. Poor Tad's going to get his little heart broken. But, I mean, he knows what he got himself into.
Been there, done that.
He loves it. He likes the punishment. He likes the pain. He likes this.
Yeah.
He's like, smack
me. He's a masochist. Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Roland.
Roland. Oh, no.
Did you miss Roland in this episode, Stuart?
I did, actually. I thought this was kind of an episode where I would like to see some other, like, kind of... It felt really focused on the roses. And I do
Stevie,
like it when it kind
really
of gets... like, Stevie, others. Ted, and Twyla are probably, like, the closest. They all had really kind of small aspects of it. And I do like it when it's more of a big ensemble kind of cast thing. And I will say it will stretch out to Roland, like... I did kind of miss him a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, he's growing on you. Look at that. You know, it's just you have an episode called Moira's Nudes and Roland's nowhere near it. It feels like a misstep to me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we needed his commentary on it. We got a message from Emily. Really loved this episode. The family dynamics, especially between Johnny, David, and Alexis around their debt was just so perfectly in character for each of them. I do. Oh, and then that was a. Emily also made the confession about the debit card, which I already talked about. Which Emily, like, we've all been there. We've all done stupid things, especially around money, especially when you're in college. We've all done things. I'm going to say on the podcast, I still struggle to write checks because we're in 2024 and no one writes checks anymore.
Yeah, why are you writing them?
Yeah.
It's like occasionally you have to write a check. I don't remember, but I know I've had to do it a few times.
Are you handing out lottery winnings? Like, why are you doing checks?
Just saying, occasionally you have to. And it's tough, and I hate it.
Just giving out her quarterly scholarship to some child. Like, yeah, what's that for you?
Just these giant checks going, I don't know why they're so awkward.
I have a checkbook, I swear. I just don't know where it is, and I haven't needed to know where it is for a very, very long time. Checkbook.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, let's get into our ratings system here. Chappelle, let's start with you. Who was simply the best this episode?
This is interesting to me because best is hard here because I really want to focus on the four, you know, our core four. We didn't have a lot of interaction from the outside gang, but you know, they all had their moments. I'd have to give this one to David. You know, he came through. David, again, has a job. He made money and he selflessly gave his check up to his dad, knowing that this is his dad and Alexis's fault that they're poor. This is definitely, I mean, they were already poor, but the fact that they are dead broke. Yeah, he did all of that, and he did it with minimal complaints from somebody like David. You would think he would make a bigger fuss about this. That's why I came here to do it instead. I want to give him all the credit in the world because this had to be hard for him. You know, his entire check went away, and that's got to be tough, especially when your dad's like, yes, both of my children are so helpful. And you're like, what? In what way? How? Yeah. And what did she do that was so helpful? My condolences to you as well, sir. So, yeah. Shout out to David for being simply the best.
What about you, Stuart? Who is simply the best?
It's funny. Before we started recording, pardon me, and you were talking about how very rarely we kind of like prepare these beforehand, and it's only occasionally has opinions swayed on the episode. My opinion's been completely swayed. I was leaning towards Alexis beforehand, but I have been completely turned 180 on it because I'm like, she does need to be held accountable. Like, yeah, she really does. So yeah. I'm also going to give it to David because David is sticking with the job, seems to be really succeeding at Blauspan despite some skepticisms that I had previously about too much change too quick, and has somehow wrangled a rental car out of Wendy. Like, how? Surely that's more expensive than actually, like, you know, buying one cheap off of Bob, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a couple people in mind for this. Moira was on my short list because of the body positivity. Like, I do think there is something really lovely about the messaging, but I couldn't because she asks her children to look up nudes of herself. Yes, and that is just so bad.
Yeah, too much positivity.
It's too much. And so I'm going to go off the board. I'm not going to pick David. I'm actually not going to pick one of the roses. I'm going to give my point to Ted. And whether or not you want to say this is for selfish reasons, he gives Alexis a job. She has no qualifications. He doesn't have to do that. He's being really kind. And he offered to buy Alexis like a tea or whatever she wanted because she's like, oh, I don't have my wallet. He's like, I'll buy you breakfast. This is so kind when, like, she broke up with him. She left him. He has no reason to be nice to her.
Why are you rewarding him for it then? Why are you rewarding him for all the things you just said? He proposed to her twice. She dumped him. She cheated on him. What better for this man? Why don't you want better for Ted?
I just like that he's kind person. I just like that he's a kind person. And he's so hot in this episode.
And that's another thing. I'm sick of it. Okay. He's wearing the jacket. He's got the muscles. He's got the beard. And they're not going anywhere, Jess. Every episode does not have to start with, okay, so Ted's hot.
Yes, it does. When his arms look like that, yes, it does. Tell him to stop looking like he's looking. Tell him to shave his beard. We wouldn't have this conversation.
I aspire for people to just be like, so Chappelle's hot, and then what? You know?
And now we can continue the podcast.
And now we can continue the conversation. But no, I don't support this at all. Ted, do better. You gave this woman a job. I'm going to repeat back what you said. This woman who dumped you twice, who cheated on you, you gave her a job. She had no qualifications, and then you bought her stuff. Mm-hmm. Stand up. Stand up. For the love of God, Ted.
All right, let's get into the disgruntled pelican. Stuart, who are you taking a point away from this episode?
It's got to be Johnny. It's got to be. Like, just...
It's a rough Johnny.
The fact that his two kids have got jobs before him. Like, and he's still toying with this whole thing of, I'm a businessman, I'm doodling in Bob's garage. And I'm like, no, you're not. Just go and get a job, Johnny. And like, stop
just make
lying
Bob's
on
bagels
them.
Happen. Just do it already.
And
you
also
all
when,
want it.
Yeah, exactly. And also when David turns up with a car, don't immediately just use him for lifts. It's so annoying. Yeah, I'm going to give it to Johnny.
All right, Chappelle, what about you?
As per my previous email, Ted, Ted, stand up. Stand up. Love yourself. Love yourself. Choose you. Choose you. He deserves
this is the first time that this has happened, I think, where someone has gotten one and lost.
It needed to happen. It needed to happen. Just be, listen, Ted came back and he's hot and he's still the same nice Ted. But now he's hot Ted and Alexis is not being completely awful. So it's like, oh, we like this again. No, we don't. No, we don't. We do not forget. We do not forget. Hope, make sure you respect yourself first, Ted. This is your business and you just hired Alexis. She can't even type. She plans on texting all your notes.
Have you seen her text?
Exactly. She's going to be texting all the emails. And if you think she's going to send emails, you're nuts. So I'm just saying, Ted, I'm sorry. I have to do this. You're the pelican this time. It's time.
So brutal. So I feel like if Ted was a controversial pick, this pick is going to send people over the edge.
What are you about to do? Because if you do what I think you're about to do, I'm going to walk out.
We've got such a limited people, like a list of people to draw from.
That's
it. You know, this can only be bad, Jess, if this is the obvious choices.
So I think that we have sufficient enough evidence.
$560 American dollars. Or Canadian. Don't you dare.
Sufficient evidence to assume that Jocelyn did play dirty politics and spread rumors that there are nudes of Moira, which is such dirty politics for your friend. I feel like it's true. I don't think Moira's making this up. I think it's true. And I'm taking a point away from Jocelyn for doing dirty politics and spreading rumors about Moira's nudes.
This is scandalous.
I'd just like to talk to the listeners right now and just say there is a vacancy going on this podcast if you'd like to join it as a co-host, because I'm tendering my resignation. This is outrageous, Jess.
And listen, don't even have to interview. Well, you don't even have to answer all the questions. You just focus on your positive qualities.
Spreadsheets?
I couldn't do it again. I couldn't do it again to Johnny. I know he's just having a rough time.
It's a rough day. It's a rough day for Johnny. I totally understand.
We piled on him last episode and I can't do it. And I do feel like Jocelyn did spread the rumor. And that's not nice. It's not
nice. You don't know that, though.
I have a feeling.
I am just looking through the little spreadsheet that we tally this on and looking at Johnny's column, and it is just all minuses for the most part. Like, it is rough.
He's having a rough season.
He is, but I love Johnny. I love Johnny Rose. Yeah. I think he's an amazing television character. And I just think he's just in over his head on a lot of this stuff. Yeah. And he doesn't have, a Ted just handing him jobs and money.
No, instead he's got a Bob handing him free workspace.
Oh, Bob. This man does not care. Johnny Rose is evil at some point. But this is crazy. To blame this on Jocelyn, that's wild. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. those are our points. Let's get into tier ranking this episode. As a reminder, we have Hot Chip, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey For Me, Ew David, and Shit Out of Luck. We're looking to place Moira's nudes. Stuart, do you have any inkling of where you'd like this to fall on our tier list?
Again, I was like, for me, it's a funny episode and like stuff happens. But like, I think it's really middle of the road for me. Like, so, like, the whole Moira's nude thing, I think, is something that could have been dialed up massively. They could have really sweated that asset for, like, jokes and things. But then I also think that there's a kind of an element of kind of Gracie not kind of going for easy kind of slapstick comedy for that kind of things. But I mean, it's a perfectly serviceable episode. I reckon it's somewhere in Love That Journey for me. I don't think it's necessarily bad. I think it's necessarily great. Somewhere in the middle, maybe?
What do you think, Chappelle?
What do you think?
It doesn't move the plot. It really doesn't. And so, and I think that's why it feels almost like an offshoot. Like they were moving, they were going somewhere, and it's like, let's stop down. We remove ourselves from Moira's campaign and all that stuff, but let's stop down and really just establish some of these people's characters a little bit more. And so I understand, because there's a lot of these episodes that are really just like plot driven. Like that, you finish the episode and you're like, man, I've learned so much about these characters. I know something new is coming. It's suspenseful or whatever the case may be. This is not one of those. And so I definitely agree that it's middle of the road. I honestly, like I said, I forgot what the plot was. I just knew that it was ridiculous because it was called Moira's Nude. And then when I watched it again, I said, oh, okay. You know, I like that one. So middle of the road is fine for me. I don't know if I like it better than Jazzagals though. So I don't know. It depends on where y'all want to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it has a good amount of funny moments in it. I think the major plot movement is Alexis getting a job. Like, if we're going to give it any credit, right? Alexis does get a job this episode, and she's kind of learns the reality of their actual financial situation. Yeah, I think I would put it in Love That Journey for me. Gosh, I'm just looking at the screen grab that we have for the candidate and thinking of the Stevie David thing all over again and like getting actively upset. You know, they kiss and they're like, nah, we're good. So I don't know. Stuart, do you want to put it, like, where would you put it in Love That Journey for me?
I think I agree with Chappelle. I put it below Jazzagals, maybe. I think the candidate, despite the Stephen David thing, I think was a good, like, had some really good moments as well. Mm-hmm. I think the whole drawing a line under things was really kind of helpful. Jazzagals as well. I mean, Moira's audition alone, I think, holds that episode up to be quite high.
Yeah,
but again, if you were to like look at this episode, I don't think there's any kind of moment like that that's really comparative. Like maybe Alexis freaking out, but the kind of foundation was quite like kind of amusing in the moment. Mm-hmm. The pin thing was quite hilarious. Next, I said pin and pin, not pin number. But I don't know if there's a kind of similar moment to this episode. So like, yeah, I think that maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, because I think while I really love the Moira's Nudes like storyline, I don't think that the David and Johnny stuff is as strong. And I like the plot progression of Alexis getting a job, but it's also not like the funniest thing in the world. So I feel like when you take that into account, it probably does fall here. It's still a really great episode, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's a bad episode. This is the average section of our tier ranking. So would we like to lock it in? Are we locking in Love That Journey for me?
I think I'm happy.
Love That Journey done. For me. Love That
Yes.
Journey.
Yes.
I just can't. It's so good. Love That Journey for me. Okay, great. Let's lock that in. Stuart, do you want to know what next week's episode is titled?
Absolutely.
All right. Next week is Ronnie's Party.
I'm excited already. Because we
You're
get Ronnie.
You're a big Ronnie fan. Yeah, you love Ronnie.
I love Ronnie. I hope that Moira turns up, tries to be like kind of center of attention, and Ronnie's like, no, it's my party. And then they have a bit of a moment. I don't know. I'm always wanting them to be for some reason. Yeah.
What kind of party is this going to be, Stuart? Are we looking at a birthday party? Are we looking at like a, I don't know, retirement party?
Maybe it's not even a celebratory party. Maybe with the politics of everything, Ronnie's establishing a third party and is going
the green
into
party.
Like,
ooh, the green party. Yes.
Incredible. Yes. Next week we'll be back with season 2, episode 10, Ronnie's Party. Chappelle, as always, so lovely to have you on. Thank you so much for coming on. This podcast truly went places.
As it should have.
You have so much going on over on Recap Kickback. What do you have going on? What do you want to tell the people about?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank y'all for having me again. It's always a pleasure. I cannot wait for my next appearance on this podcast, because it's my favorite episode of this show and it's not even close. I've seen it a billion times and I can't wait. So ready for that. Also, I'm very happy. I have to say this. I'm very happy we got past that abysmal season 1. Season 1 of Schitt's Creek is good, but it is by far my least favorite season of the show, and it's not even close. So we're in the big leagues now, okay? And so this has been so much fun. But as far as I'm concerned, Recap Kickback, It's what I do. We just finished House of the Dragon coverage. Me and Maria did week by week coverage, episode by episode coverage of season two. We had some opinions. And so check that out on recapkickback.com. Our YouTube page is popping these days. I'm also streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chappelle's_show. CHAPPELLS_show. So you can catch me in all those places. And then, of course, on RHIP, talking about Below Deck and Netflix shows on the Nothing But Netflix podcast. But to keep up with all that and more, just follow me on Twitter at Recap Kickback.
Incredible. Anything you want to plug, Stuart, before we get on out of here?
Nothing to plug. Just the usual reminder, what with everything going on, go out and vote when it comes to like voting. Yes. Go and do that.
Please. To the window, to the walls.
Yeah, walls to the post.
Yes. yeah, you can find me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We're talking Buffy, we're talking Felicity, as per the huge. Until next time, everyone, warmest regards
and best wishes.